Our KDNK local newscast for this Tuesday morning, November 29th. I'm Steve Cole, live in our Carbondale studios with News Director Gavin Dahl. Good morning again, Gavin.
Good morning, Steve. Today's newscast will focus on addressing healthcare challenges, but first, one headline: race-based bullying is on the rise in Mesa County. The Grand Junction Sentinel's Katie Langford reports that hurtful messages have been circulated in the hallways and on the playgrounds of schools in District 51 since the election. One elementary school teacher said comments she's heard from young students are unprecedented in 9 years of teaching, including use of the N-word on the playground and boys objectifying girls' bodies at a younger age than ever. The biggest problem thus far has been that while parents and community members have told district administrators that students are being bullied or harassed, most are unwilling to identify the person who did it, fearing retaliation. One of the questions I asked Lieutenant Governor Donna Lynn when we spoke at her office in the state capitol earlier this month was about the immediate impacts if President-elect Donald Trump makes good on his campaign promise to repeal Obamacare. What would that mean for folks who were covered for the first time thanks to the expansion of Medicaid, and how might changes affect the budget here in Colorado? Here's former Kaiser Permanente executive and Colorado's chief operating officer, Lieutenant Governor Donna Lynn.
Well, I think people are right to be concerned about the changes with the new presidential administration and the fact that we've got a Congress that's all united, in particular around repeal of the Affordable Care Act. We've all heard a little bit of backpedaling about, well, what did that really mean? That's first. The second is we've got 20 million people today who didn't have health insurance 2.5 years ago. They're going to be a very strong voice, and the reality is them getting care up front saves our hospitals money, and we want to make sure that they're getting good health care. So I think they will be a powerful voice along with millions of other consumers. And the third is exactly your point. We're not going to see changes in 2017. We will see legislation. But the reality is the Affordable Care Act was passed in 2010. While some of the changes rolled in some of the early years, the big change was 2014. We literally needed 4 years of planning to create this infrastructure. You can't just rip it apart without having a replacement. So I think as a state in Colorado, we're doing some of that work right now to just do some of the scenario planning, but we're pretty confident that we'll be able to continue to work and provide healthcare coverage for the 93% of the people in our state who currently have it. The expansion of Medicaid actually was sort of, there's two chunks to it, and it was mostly federal money, but we've also seen some of our general fund money in Colorado be devoted to the expansion and certainly to increased costs in Medicaid. At the same time, we've introduced an integrated care model here that's actually over the last several years saved us around $200 million. So we're mindful of the fact healthcare costs go up steeply. We're trying to flatten that increase out a little bit. So whatever happens in Washington, we'll continue to do that work here.
That was Colorado Lieutenant Governor Donna Lynn. You can hear the rest of our interview on our website at kdnk.org. In the most recent issue of Elevations, the quarterly publication of the Colorado Health Foundation, editor Michael Booth writes about how telehealth will impact rural parts of the state. Maeve Conran, news director at our partner station KGNU in Boulder, spoke to him about the changing ways doctors are meeting with patients.
Well, telehealth has been promised to people for a long time in terms of finding the ways to get technology to bring medicine and behavioral health care more directly into people's homes and into their lives to make it more convenient, to make it more secure, to make it more comfortable for them to get the care that they need. And now, instead of being just a decades-long promise on everything from cartoons like George Jetson to any number of sci-fi shows, it's actually here. People can now, in the comfort of their own homes with the major insurance carriers in Colorado, have a video telehealth visit with a doctor or other form of provider, with a behavioral health counselor. And it's really making great changes in the way that consumers interact with their healthcare. And as people discover it, the speed of the change is just going to be pretty amazing for people.
Now, is this something that's happening for people who maybe live in a rural area and who cannot travel to see a doctor? Or is this happening that's actually maybe replacing office visits, even if people are in an urban area that could go to the doctor's office?
It's really everywhere. Some of the biggest advantages right now are for those people in rural areas with hard access. There are many counties in Colorado that don't have a psychiatrist, a lot of counties that are challenged to find a dentist and other specialist providers. So those kinds of things make a big difference in their lives, but also in busy families in Colorado, in metro areas. You might have people there. There's a hospital, a children's hospital in Aurora. They are working on some emergency psychiatric telehealth where someone who may just live in another suburb has a childhood psychiatric emergency. For right now, or under the old system, it might have taken 6 to 12 hours to figure out the final step of whether they should be admitted for inpatient care. Now, by using a telehealth connection to whatever ER or counselor's office that that child showed up in, they can make a decision consulting with a psychiatrist over the phone and over the telehealth video connection and make that decision within minutes, literally, and so that that family can go on with their lives and figure out what else they need to do to get the best care for their child.
Are there any concerns about not having that face-to-face interaction with a doctor or medical health person in person? Because there's so much that can be read, just that actual interaction alone. I mean, is there anybody raising any kind of concerns about some of the downsides or what could be missed potentially in this type of an interaction?
It's absolutely something that all of the providers are very aware of, and all of the people who at nonprofits are funding the providers and trying to make this a better access for the consumer. They want to make sure that care doesn't suffer as a result of these connections. Some of the early adopters of these kinds of telehealth technologies were people in behavioral health, where if you're in northwestern Colorado, way up by Dinosaur National Monument, for example, it might be literally an hour's drive to go see a counselor in bad weather. And if they've tried doing that over a television connection and found that some people are much more comfortable doing it over a TV connection than even going in person. And whatever makes people comfortable, especially in behavioral health, means you're going to get a better result. It also is a generational thing for some people. Young people are very used to Skyping their friends, texting all kinds of services. They might feel more comfortable texting their doctor or their behavioral counselor than they might actually going to see them in person. So for every concern there is about there being a degradation in care, on the other side, they're finding that it actually improves care in many cases.
You said that this has been something that's long been discussed for many, many years. So what has been the tipping point? What has either been the barriers to this and what's kind of tipped them over? And so far as, you know, why are we seeing all of this now?
It's a combination of better technology so that now everybody is carrying around in their hand the telehealth technology that they need and a very good video and audio connection. Combination of that with some government decisions where they have now said in many states, including Colorado, as of January 1st, that basically a video health connection has to be paid for the same way that an in-person connection has to be. And so that gives the insurance companies the impetus to say, okay, we will now pay for this and people can get reimbursed for it. And then as a longer process, more and more doctors, as more younger people come up through medical school and other forms of medical education, getting more and more comfortable with the technology and realizing how it can make everything mobile and everything more convenient.
Are there any concerns about privacy?
Absolutely. Most of us have been hacked in some way, whether we knew it or not, with our credit card information or a company storing all kinds of obscure information about us that we didn't even know they had. So people are very worried about that, but there is the same kind of security rules on all of these visits and all of these encounters that exist in an in-person medical setting. And so that will only be as good or as bad as the protections that are on all of our technologies and all of our personal private information that we want to protect.
Michael Booth, thanks very much.
Thanks for your time. We really appreciate it.
And thanks to KGNU's Maeve Conran for sharing that interview with Michael Booth, editor of Colorado Health Foundation's publication, Elevations. For KDNK News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
50-year-old cartoons of characters like George Jetson talking to their doctors on a newfangled video phone are no longer science fiction in Colorado. Eric Galatis explains.
Colorado doctors are bringing old-school home visits into the digital age, thanks to advances in technology and a new state law. Telehealth, a combination of telephone, video, and other online tools, reduces travel time for doctors and patients, can connect rural residents to specialists, and could curb rising healthcare costs. Daniel Warvey with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs says it's one way providers can deliver critical care to veterans where they live.
You're not going to find a skilled endocrinologist who is familiar with Agent Orange-related morbidities, who also is a specialist in certain types of pharmacological treatments in the smaller towns in America.
A Colorado Health Institute trial found telehealth outcomes were just as good as in-person visits in most cases, and even better for nursing and cardiology care. A new Colorado law guaranteeing equal payments for remote and in-person visits goes into effect next year and is expected to allow more people to see a doctor from the comfort of home. A 2015 Harvard study found an average doctor's appointment, including travel time and waiting, takes over 2 hours, with only 20 minutes spent with a doctor. Brent Bowman with Kaiser Permanente Colorado says saving time is a big draw for many, but some patients and physicians remain skeptical. He adds replacing in-person visits with a video screen isn't appropriate in all cases.
When you have that trust, you're willing to engage, I think, in alternative forms of meeting the care needs, including video visits or telehealth. When you don't have that relationship, I think you're reticent as a patient to engage for the first time in that way.
He says people are more likely to be okay with telehealth after an initial in-person visit, and notes that virtual interactions have now surpassed traditional visits at Kaiser. Colorado's safety net clinics are also looking to expand telehealth as another tool to integrate medical, behavioral, dental, and other care in the patient-centered home model. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.